G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to have a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans 5, verse 17. Give me an oi when you're there. Praise the Lord. Well, you're going to have to believe God with me, because what I want to share today and even next week, I won't be able to get it all done today, but over the next couple of weeks, is probably one of the most difficult things to bring out. And not difficult as in difficult to understand, or difficult to hear, but it's difficult because it's something that we all think we know, but we don't. And how many of you have discovered that when you think you know something, that's when you're in greatest danger of actually fouling it all up? Because, yeah, I know that. I can do that. And this is certainly one area. So you need to use your faith. How do you use your faith? Well, you just get into agreement. And you can speak out of your mouth and agree with what you say out of your mouth. That's how you release faith. That's one of the ways. And so I want to lead you in a prayer to basically release our faith to believe God for revelation. Are you ready? So I want you to repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here. And right now, I open my heart to receive from you. I open my spiritual ears to hear from you. And I open my spiritual eyes to see what you want to show me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Romans 5, verse 17. So the title of my message is, What is So Amazing About Grace? And it says, For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You know, the Amplified Bible says, For if because of one man's trespass, lapse or offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You know, God wants us to do well. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
And not just well a little bit. He wants us to do exceedingly well. He wants us to do amazingly well. He wants you to do well in your marriage, in your family. He wants you to do well in your workplace. He wants you to do well in terms of your personal health. He wants you to do well with your friendships. He wants you to do well with your finances. This scripture that we just read from the Amplified, it says, when you receive God's grace and his gift of righteousness, you will reign as kings. He wants you to reign as kings. How many of you understand that a king doesn't just do a little bit well? To reign as a king means that you are in control, you are in dominion. And God's desire is for us to be operating at a level, at an extraordinary level, that when people look at you and I, there is no shadow of a doubt that you're doing well. That when they look at you, people at work are looking at you, there's no shadow of a doubt that you're doing really well at work. That when People look at you in terms of your finances. They see how you are increasing more and more and more. That when they see your health, they're saying, like, wow, you know, like, you used to have this, didn't you? You used to struggle with this, didn't you? What happened to that? Oh, no, I'm great. Praise the Lord, he's made me well. God wants us to reign in life. He wants us to do well. And this scripture says, if by one man's offense death reigned, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign as kings in life through Christ. So the key to being able to reign as kings is to be able to receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It says those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they're the ones who are going to reign in life. And so if we can get a handle on what does it mean to receive these things, and we can be in a position where we receive it, the reigning as kings is just it's the byproduct. It's, you know, people are chasing wanting to reign as kings. We need to just receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This scripture says once you receive it, how much more? If you reckon that we got cursed because of what Adam did and the death reigned through him, and it says how much more those who receive that abundance of grace and that gift of righteousness, how much more will they reign like kings? And so we want to look at these two things, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Today we're going to look at the abundance of grace, and so that's why I've titled today, What's So Amazing About Grace? In the hope that we believe that we're going to receive some understanding and some revelation that can help transform our lives, and we can be in a position where we can receive these things. Hallelujah. So I want us to think a little bit about grace and what does grace mean, and what does it produce in our life? You know, if you look up that word grace, the in the original Greek in which the New Testament was written, the actual word is charis. And it means a gift, but it means so much more than a gift. I mean, it means a gift and all that a gift brings, literally, is what charis means. So what does a gift bring? It brings pleasure, doesn't it? Hands up if you like getting gifts. Yeah, it brings pleasure, it brings delight, it brings joy. And charis, or grace, that word charis, literally means something which brings joy or delight or pleasure in your life. It also means unearned or undeserved favor. That can come from people or it can come from God. And in the New Testament particularly, when we think about charis, we're talking about the unearned, undeserved favor of God. Grace is God's free-flowing favor. Grace is when you know you've done something wrong and you deserve the consequences of the wrong that you've done, and yet somehow that didn't come your way. That's grace. When you experience mercy instead of judgment, that's grace. Grace is when there's just, it seems like your life is going in this direction and you hit a dead end and you try to alter course and you hit a dead end and you're trying to change all these things and you're hitting dead ends and it feels like your life's not going to go anywhere because of all the dead ends. And grace is like new opportunities that come in the middle of that. Something that you know, it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. I don't know how this happened, but I'm sure glad that it did. Grace, as the Amplified Bible says, every favor and earthly blessing. And in another place it says every spiritual blessing. It's just the favor of God on us. That's grace. And it really is amazing the more we think about it, because there are so many things that God has poured. In fact, every blessing of God that comes into our life comes by grace. We receive it through faith, but it comes by grace. I want you to look at that. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Hallelujah. Give me an oi when you're there. So it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I want you to notice, it says, by grace you've been saved through faith. So we get saved by grace. Is that right? Is that what your scripture tells you? By grace you have been saved. That word saved, we have cheapened in the church in so many instances to think that it means you're going to go to heaven. I'm not trying to say it's cheap to go to heaven. I think it's a wonderful thing. We will praise God, like that vision that I had during our praise and worship, just multitudes before the throne, just singing, yours is the power and the glory, and people just feeling like, I'm so glad that I chose to follow what you said. I'm not trying to cheapen that, but what I'm saying is we cheapen grace when we think that's all it is. It's wonderful that we're going to heaven, but grace is much, much more than just going to heaven, as wonderful as going to heaven is. Grace, it says, by grace you have been saved, and that word saved, it's the Greek word sozo, and it literally means much more than going to heaven. It means your sins are forgiven. So when it says, by grace you've been saved, it's saying, by grace your sins have been forgiven. It means healing. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And it's that word, sozo. So when it says, by grace you've been saved, it means by grace you've been forgiven of your sin. By grace you've been healed. Can you see why grace is so amazing? Grace, it's the grace of God that brings our citizenship into heaven. It's the grace of God that brings healing into our life. It's the grace of God that brings forgiveness of sin. Do you know, I deserve to go to hell. And so do you. But I ain't going. I deserve it, but I ain't going. Because by grace, I've been forgiven of all my sin. It's an unearned, undeserved favor of God. What did you do to deserve that? Nothing. I didn't do anything except just trust in what he did. And the same for you. Grace is so amazing because it brings that forgiveness. Unearned, undeserved. It brings that healing. It brings that citizenship into heaven. You know, and the problem that so many Christians have is they forget that these things are unearned, undeserved. I'm remembering a story of a guy that had only recently, he'd started attending a church and he'd only recently come to Christ. There were so many areas of his life that were quite unpolished. He was a diamond in the rough, if you know what I mean by that expression. You know, like there were just, his language was quite colourful still. His lifestyle wasn't ideal. But he discovered that Jesus paid for his sin and he had a wonderful plan for his life and he chose to trust in that. And God did a massive change within him, but it was still working out. Well, this guy, the first time he came to church, he got healed. It was a miraculous, supernatural manifestation of healing. He'd been struggling with some health issues, and they just got healed just like that. And there was this lady in the church who saw this. This guy had long hair, probably hadn't showered for days, you know, he kind of smelled. He was just kind of, you know, like not your typical churchgoer. And he got healed. And this lady saw him jumping up and down, and she put it together that he got healed. And she got so angry. And after the service, when everybody was being dismissed, she marched to the front and she went and saw the pastor and she said, I want you to answer something for me. And he said, sure, well, if I can, I will. And she said, I want to understand, how is it that this man got healed? She said, that's the first time he's ever been to our church. I don't think he's ever been to a church before that. And she said, and you look at me, I come to church every week. I read my Bible every week. I give in the tithes. I pray. How come God hasn't healed me? How come God healed her, I mean him, and he didn't heal me? And you ask anybody in this church, I'm the best Christian there is. Do you get an understanding of maybe why she didn't get healed? See, she didn't understand. It's by grace that you're healed. It's undeserved. She's trying to earn it. She's trying to deserve it. You know, if you got what you deserve, and if I got what I deserve, we'd just be a pile of ashes. You got to be real careful about demanding justice, hey? Don't buy into what the world says. You know, you deserve better than that. No, I don't. I know what I deserve. I get very uncomfortable when people want to bless me and they say, you deserve this. No, I don't. I have lots of blessings. I am a blessed person. I am very, very content in the things and very thankful for the things that God has done in my life. But they have come by grace. I am not a fool to think that I deserved it. If I got what I deserved, and if you're someone who thinks, you know, I ought to get what I deserve, I want justice in life, people have ripped me off, if you take that to the nth degree, you will be a pile of ashes if you got what you deserve. By grace, you have been forgiven. By grace, you receive your healing. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. Deliverance comes by grace. When that demoniac in the Gadarenes, when he had been delivered of the demons and the people saw his life had been so transformed, the news went about him everywhere. The scripture says everyone talked about this man who was delivered. That word delivered is the same word sozo. So in other words, this word saved means more than just going to heaven. It means healed. It means delivered. It means going to heaven. It means being forgiven of your sins. All of these things come unearned and undeserved. Grace also means protection. It produces protection. The word sozo, by grace you've been saved, sozo, it's protection. Do you remember when the disciples were told by Jesus, let's go to the other side, and he fell asleep in the back of the boat, and they were in fear of their lives? In Matthew, they woke him up and they said, Lord, save us. We're perishing. That word save, it's the word sozo. What were they saying? They weren't saying, Lord, take us to heaven. They didn't want to go to heaven right then. They were scared for their lives. They were saying, Lord, save us. In other words, they were saying, Lord, protect us. We're gone. By grace, you receive protection for your life. By grace, you receive forgiveness for your sin. By grace, you receive promotion in your life. Do you remember the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? And he was sold as a slave. His brothers beat him up and they sold him as a slave, and he ended up in a foreign nation. And he got bought by this general of the Egyptian army, and he put Joseph to work. And the scripture says he found favor in the eyes of this general. What's favor? Grace. Yeah. Joseph experienced grace and he got promoted. This general promoted Joseph from just an ordinary slave into someone who was running his entire estate. Joseph made this general a multi-millionaire. But it was the grace that was on him. He found grace. And then the general's wife had the hots for Joseph. She tried to seduce him and he was trying to stay away from her. And so she concocted a story and said, he tried to rape me. That was nothing like what the truth of the matter was. And yet he was sent into prison. And yet in that same chapter of Genesis, it says, but God's favor, God's grace was upon Joseph. and he rose up the ranks in the prison, and until eventually he was serving under the keeper of the prison, running the prison. By grace, you are promoted. You don't earn your promotion. If you're trying to earn your promotion, you're doing things the world's way. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a diligent worker and that you shouldn't work hard. In fact, I think it's a real shame that so many Christians are so sloppy in their approach to work. You ought to be coming earlier than your start time. You ought to be finishing later than your finish time. And you ought to be sowing that. Jesus said, if you just do what you're told to do, then you're nothing more than an unprofitable servant. If you want to live in the profit margin, you've got to do more than just what you're told. Sow it. Sow a bit of extra time into your work. Start performing at a greater level. But, you know, don't buy into the world where you think that promotion comes because you deserve it. That's how the world does it. God has a better way. You know, God wants to bless you at such an extraordinary level that there is no human explanation. And that's what needs to be seen in our lives. That it has to be like an extraordinary success. If you could just point to, yeah, well, I just did this and this and this, and that's what I did, and that's why I'm so good, and that's why I got promoted, well, you're just doing it still in your flesh. It has to happen because of the grace of God, His unearned, undeserved favor. So we've seen that grace produces citizenship in heaven, it produces forgiveness of sin, it produces healing, it produces deliverance, it produces protection, it produces promotion. Because that scripture says, by grace you've been saved. The word saved means all those things. It means citizenship in heaven. It means healing. It means forgiveness. It means promotion and protection and deliverance and all of these other things. So if that's what grace makes, then you understand you can't get any of those things without grace. That's where that lady went wrong. When she's saying, how come he got healed and I didn't? I pray. I read my Bible. What was she trying to do? She wasn't trying to get it by grace. She was trying to earn it. In fact, that scripture in Ephesians 2, if you're still there, it says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift, not of works, lest anyone... You can't work for the grace of God. You can't work for anything that God wants to provide by grace. God wants to prosper you financially more than you can imagine. He wants you to do exceedingly well. And it is not dependent on what sort of job you have. It's not dependent on what side of the tracks that you were born. It's not dependent on the level of education that you've received. It's not dependent on any of those things. It comes by grace. It comes by His unearned, undeserved favor. He chose to lavish His grace on you and I, not because of anything you and I did. But there is, He saw value in you and I. He saw value in it. How do we know that God saw value? Because I hear some Christians say, you know, I'm nothing, I'm just like a worm. No, God don't spend everything He's got on worms. Hey. How do we know that God values us? He gave the most precious thing He had. He gave His Son. There was nothing more. There was nothing more. He emptied the bank vault, so to speak. He gave everything. If that didn't work, He would have been bankrupt. You don't pay. Like if I said to you, hey, I've got some mints here, you know, who wants to give me $5,000 for these box of mints? I don't think I'd find a buyer. I don't think I would even, if I made it half price, 2.5, I wouldn't find any buyers. Why? Because people say that's not worth it. Eventually I may find a buyer. I may go down to 50 cents or 25 cents or something, and I might talk someone into like half a pack of mints for 25 cents or something. What they're saying is that's what it's worth. I'm willing to pay what it's worth. And I think it's worth 25 cents. Or, okay, I'll pay you 50 cents. I think it's worth that. Jesus thinks that you're worth His life. Because that's what He was willing to pay. So don't say that you're not worth anything. Because God doesn't agree with that. But these blessings, all of these blessings come by grace. That means that you can't get them any other way except understanding it's come as a free gift of God. Now, we do need to apply our faith to receive these things. And we'll talk a bit more about that probably next week. But it's just to understand these are undeserved, unearned blessings of God. Oh, well, Pastor Les, you're just stretching it here. Like this, by grace you've been saved through faith, but yeah, you know, like, let me read you another scripture. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." He has saved us. Everyone's like, saved. That's the same word, sozo. By grace you've been saved. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, God has sozo, God has saved you. In other words, God's healed you. God's written your name in heaven. God's forgiven you of all sin. God has delivered you. God has protected you. He's promoted you. And what does it say? It says, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his grace. By grace that we're saved. Now go back to Romans 5, the scripture we started with. Romans 5, verse 17. So I want you to notice there, it says, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So I want you to know, we're talking about the grace. Notice it's not just a little bit of grace, is it? It's abundance of grace. God wants to lavish healing in your life. Not just give you just enough to stop the pain or just enough that you can cope. He wants to lavish healing in your life. He wants to lavish prosperity in your life. He wants to lavish promotion in your life. He wants to do it says those who receive abundance of grace. That word abundance, it literally means, if you look it up in the King James, the Strong's dictionary, it means surplusage. I didn't know that was a word. Surplusage, like surplus. So surplusage. Like overflowing, over and above. We need to receive abundance of grace. Thayer says about that word, abundance, it says superabundance, superfluous, superior, preeminent, a prophet. God doesn't just give us a little bit of grace. He gives us an abundance of grace. He doesn't want this to be just a close call, like people look at you and go, well, you know, yeah, that could be God, but, you know, I mean, it could just be coincidence. He wants it to be happening at such a level, such an extraordinary level in your life that people say, dude, that's God. That's God. I love it. I'm thinking about this student that was an atheist at school. And he would always just question stuff. But eventually, you know, like, he just saw the blessing of God on my life happened so much that he couldn't deny it. And then he asked me if I would come, and he's an atheist. He came to me and he asked me if I would pray for him because he wanted that blessing in his life. God wants that for you and I. An abundance of grace. An abundance of unearned, undeserved favor from God. You know, I heard an illustration recently. I think it might have been Joseph Prince that shared it. And I want to share. I kind of made a few little changes. So I'll get Phil. Would you stand up over here? And Anthony, if you just stand up over here, you won't need to do any actions or anything, but just stand up so you can kind of picture it. And Jerry, would you come up? And if you just stand in between them. So I want you to imagine that Jerry has got this business idea. He just knows, oh man, I could make a truckload of money. This idea, and it's not just a fly by night scheme. He's actually thought it through and he's worked out a business plan, and he's put it all, and he knows, like, yep, this is, but he needs some money to get started. And so Phil is a multi-billionaire, billion with a B, right? He is a multi-billionaire, and he actually likes Jerry. He thinks Jerry's a really nice guy, and they're often like they'll come to church and they'll chat and they'll do different things. And anyway, Phil hears about Jerry's kind of got this business plan, so he has a chat with Jerry one day, and he says to Jerry, "You know, look, tell me about this business plan that you've got." And so Jerry tells him. And so Phil says, that sounds pretty interesting. Maybe we can catch up sometime and have some dinner together. I want to hear more, like, how are you actually going to implement this and stuff? And they get together, and so Jerry brings his documentation, and he's worked it all out. He's got the facts and the figures. He's got a marketing plan. He's got everything in place. And Phil is no slouch. I mean, he's made his billions just through investments and stuff. And he's looking at this, and he's thinking, like, wow, you've really done your homework, Jerry. I like this. So, Jerry, how much do you need? Well, and Jerry swallows hard. And he says, well, if I'm going to make this work, I need $10 million to start. I need $10 million, otherwise there's no way I can get this going. Is $10 million a lot for Phil? He's a multi-billionaire. He's got thousands of millions. So he's looking at this plan. He's looking at Jerry. Well, you know, I know you, Jerry. I like this plan. Tell you what, I think I'm going to invest in this. And so he decides, yep, I'm going to loan you the $10 million. All right, you go ahead. And he said, when I get into the office tomorrow, I'll just notify my assistant to transfer the funds into your account. And then once you get the business up and going, we can talk about some sort of repayment schedule. How do you reckon Jerry's feeling, having been approved? I mean, he wasn't expecting that. How do you reckon he'd be feeling? Pretty excited, like, wow, you know, like, man, I didn't know this day was ever going to come. So Jerry goes, and he sets up his business, and he gets it going, and it's been a number of months now that Jerry's had his business up and going. But how many understand that when you've got a new business, one of the biggest issues to do with new businesses is something called cash flow? Cash flow can be a real challenge. And the cash flow is just like a little bit slow. And now it's been about 6 months since Jerry's had his business set up. And every Sunday they're coming to church, and every Sunday they're seeing each other. What do you reckon's going through Jerry's mind when he sees Phil? He's probably thinking, like, man, I owe that guy $10 million. Is that right? He's thinking, like, oh, man, you know, like, it's been 6 months and I haven't made a single payment yet, you know, like, and I know Phil said take your time, and, you know, once the cash starts coming in you can start talking to me. But what, in Jerry's mind, he's thinking, like, man, how am I going to get out of this? I wish I just had some more money coming in that I could start paying. Phil, in the meantime, is not thinking anything of the sort. He sees Jerry, hey, Jerry, how you doing? You know, how's your week been? How's things going? Business going good? Jerry's going, yes. And Jerry's thinking in his mind, please don't ask me about payments because I don't know. I'm not even sure. Anyway, a few months go by. Still, the cash flow is still not strong. And Jerry's thinking, like, man, you know, like, I don't know how I can face Phil. You know, and so Jerry is, he's trying to avoid Phil now. Like, he sees Phil and he tries to busy himself at the other end of the church, and Phil's kind of wondering, like, what's going on? Like, Jerry doesn't seem to talk to me anymore. Can you see why so many believers stop talking to God? Because they have this sense of ought, like, you've done so much for me and I've done nothing for you, and I owe you. And Jerry's kind of feeling that same thing, like, man, I owe this guy. Like, I wish I could pay, you know. And Phil's not worried at all. Like, for Phil, he's a multi-billionaire and he knew Jerry already, and he's happy to give him, and he knows that the money, he knows Jerry's an honest man. That's how God is with you and I. Sometimes the devil gets us on this performance treadmill and we're thinking, you know, I haven't read my Bible, I haven't gone to church, and oh man, I wish I was more consistent in my tithing, and you know, like, oh, you know, all these things. And God, I know you probably don't want to talk to me, and I don't understand that. You don't want to be a Jerry, do you? We love Jerry. So anyway, Anthony is also good mates with Jerry. And Anthony, similar to Phil, is a multi-billionaire. Mm. And so Anthony, he's talking one day with Phil. And Phil's pretty excited about what Jerry's doing and how he's invested in what Jerry's doing and stuff. And Anthony says, man, that sounds really good. Like, and he through the conversation, Anthony learns that Jerry owes Phil $10 million. And so Anthony's thinking about it. So anyway, he phones Phil up a few days later, and he said, Phil, I've been thinking about, you know, like how Jerry owes you $10 million. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. Like, I know it's been a while since you loaned that money. He said, I'd like to give you $20 million just to clear that debt. And he said, would that be okay, Phil? Would it be okay if I gave you $20 million? Would that kind of cover and just kind of expunge that debt completely so that there would be no remorse, that you wouldn't feel upset? And Phil said, well, I'm not upset, but yeah, look, I mean, if you want to give me $20 million, that's fine, and I'll just cancel that debt. So Anthony calls his assistant, arranges for $20 million to be transferred into Phil's account. Now, does Jerry owe Phil any money? No, he doesn't. But Jerry doesn't know. Jerry doesn't know what's happened. And so Jerry's coming every week and go, oh, there's Phil again. Oh, let me just hide over here and I'll get busy over here and I'll do this and I'll do that. And all in the meantime, Phil's just completely he's unruffled. He's like, as far as he's concerned, there's no problem. And if there was any problem, it's been more than compensated with the $20 million that he got paid out. See, if you don't understand the grace of God and what God has given you that's undeserved and unearned, you can still act like you owe Him, and you don't. Your debt has been cleared. And instead of trying to avoid God, and instead of trying to assess how you're going based on your performance, well, I haven't read my Bible, so I guess God's really angry with me today. It's by grace that you're forgiven, not by your Bible reading. Well, you know, I haven't tithed. I haven't tithed. So I know God's got to be upset with me because I just don't tithe. It's by grace. Prosperity comes by the grace of God. Do you earn your forgiveness? Do you earn your healing? What about the protection that God gives you and I? Do we earn that? So what makes you think you've got to earn your money? Prosperity comes by grace. Now, tithing, I might try to tell you don't read your Bible and don't come to church and don't tithe. I'm not trying to tell you any of that. But I'm saying that you don't do that to try to earn things from God. At some point, if you believe God wants you to prosper, you're going to do things His way. And tithing will be a part of that. But until that time, if you've come for more than a couple of weeks here, you'll know that you are more than welcome. If you never tithe, you're more than welcome here. I want you to learn the value of these things because of what the Word says, not because you get pressure from people out the front. And so Jerry is now debt-free. Phil has been paid off. He's received his $20 million. But see, it affects the way we live if we don't understand and meditate on the truth. We have been set free. The debt has been paid. Oh, but Pastor Les, God's not going to pay double. I mean, come on. Why would God do that? Let me read you a scripture. If you're a note taker, you can write this down. But I'll read you a scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended." Everyone say ended. The war's over. "That her iniquity," what's iniquity? That's sin. "Her iniquity has been pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double," everyone say double, "for all her sins." He paid double. That's not my opinion. What these guys standing out here and helping me do this illustration is just a tiny little model of what God actually did for you and I. He more than met the debt that you had. He more than cleared it out. He paid double. In fact, in Isaiah 61, it says, "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. In their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." Praise the Lord. Give these guys a round of applause. Thank you. If by one man's sin death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign as kings in life. So notice, we've talked about how it's an abundance of grace, but notice what it says before abundance of grace. Those who receive it. You have to receive it. It's here, but you have to receive it. And I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say achieve. It says receive. Because for a lot of Christians, they're trying to achieve abundance of grace. They're trying to achieve their healing. They're trying to achieve their promotion. They're trying to achieve their forgiveness. You can't achieve it. It's those who receive abundance of grace. And I guess that's a difficult thing, because we live in a world that says things like, you know, without pain there's no gain. Or you've got to outperform the others and that's how you get promoted. Yeah, in the world that's how you will. And I'm not saying that Christians should be sloppy. We've already talked about that. I do believe we need to be performing at an excellent level. But what I'm trying to share with you is that when you put your trust in what He has given that's unearned and undeserved, not only just your performance, but you put your trust in Him, He will not only multiply your efforts, but He will just supernaturally increase what you're doing. You know, when I started as a chaplain, the funding for it was barely 3 days. It was just a little over 3 days a week. When I finished as a chaplain, we were funding six other chaplaincies. The budget grew in the space of those years from like $16,000 a year. It grew to over $250,000. That was uncanny. And I've talked to a number of chaplains. I remember just recently I caught up with one school chaplain and she was saying, you know what, she said, it's so frustrating. I've got to organize my own fundraising. And she said, it takes me away from the school. I think every chaplaincy now receives like $20,000 a year from the government in government funding. And eventually she sort of talked about this for a period of time, and then I said to her, I said, do you know, I said, when I was a chaplain, I said, when I worked, I said, I worked for 13 years, I said, I didn't get 1 cent of government funding. And yet our funding grew every year, more and more and more. I said, yeah, I was responsible for the fundraising. There's ways in God. Just because you don't have an idea how you can make ends meet doesn't mean that God's run out of ideas and He's going like, man, I don't know what we're going to do, eh? You better go ring Centrelink. Maybe they can help you. Just because the doctor says, you know, well, there's nothing more we can do. This is going to be your life. We'll just give you some stronger medication and hopefully that you'll be able to cope with it. Just because they said that doesn't mean that God's looking and going, well, don't ask me. I mean, if the doctor said that, I can't help you. But it means we've got to receive abundance of grace, not try to achieve abundance of grace. It means that we understand this is a gift from you, that you want me to have this, And that if I just put my trust in you, I don't have to understand how it's all going to work, but I just put my trust. You know, one of the greatest blessings in my life is this revelation that I'm trying to convey to you. When it finally dropped into my heart, it was a life-transforming moment when I saw how much God loved me and I began to bawl my eyes out, that I realized I didn't deserve it, but he just wanted to lavish it. And I just said yes. And I remember even for months and months, as I thought about that and meditated on that, I would shake my head thinking, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You are so good to me. Why are you doing this? And I would often say to him, you know, I don't understand it, but I'm just going to agree with it. I don't understand why you love me so much. I don't understand why you want to bless me, but I'm just going to agree with it. And I want to thank you for it. That's how you receive. You just get in agreement. Well, you know, Pastor Les, I've been believing God for healing for like 17 years. What's going on? No, you see, you're trying to achieve. Get into receive. God, I don't know how this is going to come about, but I know you'll never leave me or forsake me. So I'm not going to say that I don't have my healing. I'm not going to say that this is such a struggle for me. I receive the abundance of grace. Whatever I need to be able to get the job done, I believe I have it. And we begin to walk like that. You know, the grace of God needs to be the filter through which we see ourselves and see our lives. Where you look at yourself and instead of thinking like, you know, I hear some Christians just going, oh man, I've blown it again. I'm just so frustrated. I just do so many things wrong. I've made such a mess. That is not looking at your life through the grace of God. The grace of God needs to be sunglasses that you put on where it filters everything you see. You know when you put on like rose-colored glasses, everything looks rosy. Is that right? The grace of God needs to be glasses that you put on that filters everything you see in your life through the grace of God. So instead of looking at yourself saying, I'm no good, you're saying, well, you know, grace means something that brings joy. I bring joy to God. I bring pleasure to him. When he thinks about me, he's not going. He's going, there, that's my son. That's my daughter. They bring me pleasure. When you have those grace glasses on, you're looking at life, instead of looking at your life saying, like, man, nothing good happens to me, you just say, no, every favor and earthly blessing comes to me in abundance. Oh yeah, but Pastor Les, nothing good's happened in my life for years, and nothing good will, as long as you keep saying that. Because death and life are in the power of our tongue. Is that right? We need to be wearing these grace glasses. We need to filter everything in our life through that grace and just understand and have this expectation of our life. There's good things happening. I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm not going to get what I earned. I've made mistakes, but that's all been paid for. And right now, I'm an innocent man. They're the things that need to be coming out. Hey. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of it this morning? Amen. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray in the Spirit just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Oh, valeske barashalaske ingrede chese. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to lead you in a faith confession, hey, that we can get into agreement with what God says about us. So I want you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me unconditionally. That means it's not dependent on what I've done. And it's not dependent on what I haven't done. You love me. And you have forgiven me. And you've cleansed me of all sin. And you are my healer. You are my promoter. You're my protector. Your favor is on my life. And I get into agreement with that. I refuse to have things that I deserve, but I receive your grace and every favor that comes by your grace. So I receive the peace in my mind. I receive strength for my body. I receive finances for my situation. I receive new jobs, better jobs, promotions. I see favor in my life and in my family. And I thank you when people ask me, how is this happening? I'll point to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.